Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. I have a personal story for you today. Before I was 30 years old, I had a business and career setback. See, I'm part of that Generation X trying to make their way in the world. Now, this goes back a few years, okay? I was out of university for 5 years, like I said, trying to make my mark, and it was tough. There was double-digit inflations, crazy house prices, rent. All the jobs were taken by baby boomers. Wait, doesn't that sound familiar? I think pretty much some generations might be saying that today. My point there, I guess, is things happen. But at that time, I was living in New Westminster in British Columbia, and I was wondering what it was I was going to do with the rest of my life. So I was working part-time, did not make a career. So I had all these different part-time jobs, but I needed to get something going. And with some setbacks from a career position into some transition, sometimes you have to do that. So this one beautiful spring day, I was walking down this long street. It was huge, beautiful, with that huge, beautiful houses. You know, the Victorian style, a few hundred years old, type thing with the old growth trees hanging out. I think they were weeping willows, I believe, providing a canopy for the neighborhood. And there was a breeze, and you could actually hear the rustling of the trees. It was unbelievable. Like, to this day, I can smell it. And you know what? I think you could smell the earth breathing life into the surroundings. It was that powerful. So with purpose, that's of course with life, that is when I realized I should focus on the success of others, people and organizations, so that they become successful. Now, call it a mission, call it a calling, call it a purpose, call it a big idea. It's fine. I ended up basing my career and business on it. So 30 years later, I can actually say that I've had a great business career, great family life, and great friends. I've been very, very blessed in my life. Can't say it's always been easy, but it has been great. I do wonder if you can take a big idea or an idea or a purpose and make a sense of focus and do more with it, maybe locally, maybe through social media, maybe in your business, maybe on a global basis. I'm never really too sure how far you can take something. Is it something more micro or something more macro? And how big things should be for you. But I suspect today that is the topic or the idea we're going to talk about, and maybe with my guests. And here is a friend of mine, a business associate and a heck of a good-looking guy, Joseph Ransett, serial entrepreneur and founder of Vine Strategies and Greenleaf Digital, plus professional speaker. I put plus professional speaker. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Richard. It's always great to be here.
I know. You know what, Joseph? You've been on my show before. I always love it when you come to visit me because you always have great stories and ideas to think about and everything. But I always like to line things up with our listeners so they know a little bit about who you are, because I can sit here and talk all about you, but that's not really
please
what we're
do.
Here for. Yeah, please do, right? Please tell people about me. Tell us a bit about your life there, Joseph.
The short version is that I help people start movements. And when people get a little cockeyed and wondered what that actually means is, you know, more particularly, I help people transform their lives or their organizations using the same blueprint and principles that transformational leaders like Gandhi and Dr. King used to change the world. So in one essence, it's marketing of how do we, you know, take a message out to the world. But at a deeper level, it's more about impact. It's not just about pushing widgets. It's about how do we transform lives. And the flavor of marketing that I have been pursuing, you know, for the last, 18 years has been one of how do we use these skills to engineer transformation instead of just simply transactions.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about that previously, right? And when we talk about, so I'm going to just dive into a few different spots, because transformation versus transaction, or transformational business versus transaction business, what is the distinction between those two?
Yeah, you know, at one level, a transaction is just, you know, selling and someone buying a widget or a car or whatever.
A chocolate bar, a bag of chips.
Precisely.
Yeah. You know.
But for me, transformation is about giving people a new lens on life. Helping them see the world differently. And what that does is it creates a change in behavior, which, you know, a transaction is a behavior, getting people to do something. But when that transaction is over, the transaction is over. Whereas if you are able to give someone a new lens to see life, it will give them, a new disposition toward action, so that action is not just in the moment, but it's for a lifetime.
For a lifetime. So what do you think is, I don't know if it's a recipe or the initial event to give somebody a new perspective in life? I'm going to use the word perspective, but to give them that sort of transformational emphasis.
Yeah, you know, I think really understanding that we tell ourselves stories about what things mean. You know, when something happens, you know, we see it on the news or something happens in our life, you know, we have a preconceived conclusion about what that means. And transformation is about helping people have different conclusions about what things mean, about rewriting those stories. And so when you look at the great transformational leaders, you know, a lot of people, you know, back in the, you know, 50s, you know, would say this is just the way things are. Well, you know, Dr. King, for example, said, does it have to be that way? Can we look at this? And he gave people a new lens. And that lens was really built on a simple truth that all men are created equal.
Okay. So it's the idea. Okay. So now this is what I hear. So I'm now just trying to summarize. I hear that it's a planting of an idea that allows people to see something new.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Does that sound correct?
Yeah. You know, Ernest Holmes, the philosopher, said that, you know, a mind once expanded, you know, by a new idea can never return to its original shape. And that's what transformation is helping people to expand their minds, to have a new lens that changes their life, you know, day in, day out, you know, with that new story, that new lens.
What do you think is the big challenge that stops people from transforming?
You know, conditioning.
Okay.
You know, we get into ruts, you know, patterns of thinking. And it takes courage to step out of those ruts. And sometimes the stories we tell ourselves are benign. Sometimes they're very heated and emotional. But I think in any situation, if we can step back and have the courage to say, I'm going to examine my conclusions. And whether they're right or wrong, I'm willing to toss them up in the air and to see if the wind blows them away or to see if they land back in my lap.
That sounds like it's a bit of an exercise in terms of how you do that. Like, how would you go about doing something like that? I'm getting deeper in real fast here. I want to know. Show me the how.
This is great. Well, you know, I think in a simple way to apply it is, you know, for example, we have things in life that upset us, right? You know, our spouse does this, a business associate does that, our parents did XYZ to us.
Yeah, and sometimes it just could be little things.
Yeah.
You know, not putting the cap on the toothpaste. Mm-hmm. Small. I'm going small.
But it stirs an emotion.
Sure.
And I firmly believe that what stirs an emotion teaches a lesson. And so when we have those experiences where something stirs an emotion and it's upsetting us, we have to understand that the emotion, you know, the upset is not coming from what happened, but what we believe about why it happened or what it means. So if we can step away from that and say, okay, they left the cap off the toothpaste. In my mind, that's because they don't love me or because, you know, they're a slob or, you know, they don't care about cleanliness or whatever. And I have that conclusion.
So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about what you do when you have that conclusion. Mm-hmm. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with my friend and actually business associate, Joseph Ransett. And I said Vine Communications before. Was that correct? Mm-hmm. Is that, yep. Or Greenleaf? Which, give me a name of a company.
Greenleaf Digital Impact.
Digital Impact, yeah. Just so I have something to anchor it in. But I also know you're a professional speaker, too. So just before the break, we left on a bit of a cliffhanger. We were talking about what to do with the conclusion. Like, something's happened. I jokingly said the cap off the toothpaste because I was looking for something everybody can relate to. Mm-hmm. And an emotion is stirred, right? And you draw a conclusion on this. And an interesting conclusion you said was, oh, they left the cap off the toothpaste. They must not love me. You know, I've been married for a long time, so I've got a lot of relationship experience. Mm-hmm. I can see that happening, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so what do you do with something like that?
Well, you know, again, it's the story that upsets us, not the action. And so much of that story comes down to motive. That we think they did something because of XYZ. And really the best way to release all that emotion and upset is I do a valuable exercise, which is to write 5 different stories about that situation. And you write one and you provide an alternate, you know, plausible story for the motive. And all of a sudden you realize that the one that you had, it loses a little bit of power. And it doesn't matter if those 5, you know, alternate stories, you know, different motives for why they did that are real or not. But you come to realize after going through five that any one of them is just as likely.
It's a possibility,
right? They could have been abducted by aliens. And that's why, you know, whatever it is, you realize that it's just a story. And all of a sudden, you can come to this place of saying, this doesn't mean as much as I thought it meant, and we can let it go.
It's funny you would say that, because the image I had right away was that you almost can create your own Hollywood ending. And what I mean by that, and I don't know if you don't like the fact I use that term, was that in movie making, often there are multiple endings to any movie that are actually filmed. And somewhere on the cutting room floor, a decision is made on which one, which ending is going to be the ending for the movie. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like that's sort of what you're saying, if you're using a movie analogy, that you can pick your own, you can write your own script and pick your own ending.
I learned a long time ago that it doesn't matter if my beliefs are true so much as that they serve me. And you know, before I throw a curveball to too many people, a great example is I play basketball and I step on that court and I tell myself that I am Michael Jordan. It's not true. It's really not true. But that story serves me.
Okay.
Because when I'm in the zone, I'm thinking, what would Michael Jordan do? And I'm in that space, I'm feeling confident, I'm feeling empowered. And so it is, you know, life happens to us. What's the story that we're going to tell ourselves about why? And to me, optimism is not about just, you know, blindly ignoring facts, but of saying, how can I interpret this in my favor to empower me in this moment?
That sets up a very interesting thing, because, or idea, thinking, because often, I think about sometimes what we do to our kids. Right. And what other people do to other people's kids, so to speak, your other parents. Mm-hmm. Right. And then what parents have done, have their parents have done to them. Right. And channeling in a negative thought or idea that, you know, literally 50 years later, you have to deal with and that. Mm-hmm. I find it, I'm not too sure where I'm going with this, Joseph, but I find it very interesting that you're, if I use the word channeling, you're channeling in another image or another idea of somebody that you respect as and asking the question what they might do in that circumstance and overcoming a negative event or negative idea?
Yeah, but you know, we all have these F&M stories, right? Father and mother.
Oh, stories, father and mother, you know? Stories, yeah. And, we do, yeah.
And we carry them with so much emotion that we are, you know, the way that we are because of this thing that happened, our father or mother did to us, you know, 30, 50 years ago.
Or whatever it might be.
And often when we confront those stories and have those discussions with our parents or other people who are around, we realize that we've got our facts wrong. At the very least, we don't know the full story about why someone does something. And it rarely is about us. So whatever that thing is that other person did to us, that we're carrying that baggage, if we can rewrite the story, or at least let go of some of that emotion of what it means, and choose something a little more empowering, it's going to allow us to let go of that baggage. And, you know, that's why I love, you know, a lot of the work that I do is with authors, speakers, coaches, you know, purpose-driven entrepreneurs, that in all of their different businesses, that's the root of it, is they're helping people rewrite their stories, giving them a new lens, so they've got a different belief that empowers people as they step through the world.
Oh, okay. So that now I have to ask a question in terms of, I wasn't sure I was going to ask this, but in terms of the service and working with these other professionals, can you explain us a little bit more how you're working with these people?
Yeah, you know, I believe that every one of us wants to have an impact on the planet. Not every one of us necessarily wants to be Gandhi or Dr. King and start a movement, but every one of us wants to have meaning and to do something significant, even if it's just in our own backyard. And, you know, so ultimately, I think when we can get clear on what that impact is that we want to have, we can then make empowered choices of how we want to take that to the world. And it could be just in our local community. You know, I specialize in working with authors, speakers, coaches.
Yeah, you mentioned.
Who want to take it on a larger scale of helping them increase the reach of what they're doing and increase the impact of how they're delivering it to people.
So that's actually quite an interesting service to be involved in. I'm curious to know how that evolved. How did you get involved in offering that particular service?
You know, a lot of it came out of this quest of really noticing what's working well, and what isn't. And I started pursuing ease. And I realized that there were certain things in business, you know, providing marketing services that worked really, really well. And certain things that we just had to work harder for and weren't getting quite as much results. And as a professional speaker myself, we mastered the things that we were doing for me, like that my team was doing to support me. And in an effort to create ease and to create more value for our customers, we just let go of all of the things that didn't fall in that thing, that space of we can do this really well, and just focused on that. And this is working. Let's do more of that.
Oh, okay. So that makes a lot of sense. So that was a journey in itself, though, because I know that you started off with a particular journey in business. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, and I'd like to come in and talk about your business journey, your arc, and what you led up to the point of getting to what you're doing now. Mm-hmm. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Richard Land, and I'm hanging out with Joseph Ransett. Joseph and I, just before the break, were talking a little bit about what he's doing today. But Joseph, what I'm interested in is I love career arcs. Well, I love life arcs, right? And just a career arc or business arc or living arc is just part of that, right? So I know when we started to understand a bit about what you're doing today, but what were you doing 10 years ago? Whatever has led you up to the point you are today. Like, because I know you did a lot of changes and transitions in your mm-hmm. business. So let's go business yeah. first. So tell us a little bit about the history.
Well, you know, as you can imagine, when you're in high school, the career counselor doesn't sit down with you and say, hey, Joseph, here's a really great program that teaches you on how to help people start movements.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that's part of the curriculum.
That wasn't an option.
You study it.
You know. But for me, you know, I got into marketing at a very young age. So in the late 90s, you know, I was working in online marketing. And was fortunate to be in the right place at the right time, learned some great skills, had some great successes. But my true passion was in serving people. And I got some advice from one of my earliest mentors, who was Dr. Stephen Covey, who wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he said, Joseph, if you really want to be successful, what you need to do is learn how to integrate the spiritual with the secular.
Okay.
And, you know, by spiritual, you know, I'm not talking about religious and woo-woo, but, you know, I believe he was talking about purpose, right? About seeing that what we do can be driven by a much bigger intention, a much bigger purpose than just the daily grind. And so for me, that put me on this path of seeing how do I take this skill set of marketing and knowing how people make decisions and being able to engineer transactions and marry that with this desire to serve people, you know, and to love and have a positive impact. And by studying, you know, the transformational leaders like Gandhi, Dr. King, Mother Teresa, et cetera, what started to emerge in my mind was a blueprint, that there were things that they all had in common, things that they all did the same. And by sharing this blueprint, I've been able to help individuals and organizations create a lot more impact in what they're doing, and obviously to increase the reach, because we all have common drivers as humans. You know, we want to have an impact. We want to be significant. You know,
and if we can successful,
if we can tap into those in powerful, empowering ways, we can do an awful lot of good in this world. And so I've had a lot of ups and downs along the way in this journey, and I've learned a lot of these lessons, I think, through the school of hard knocks, you know, through my own challenges. But I had one experience recently where I received a Thought Leader of the Year award for this this blueprint, this work that I've done. And it came at the most difficult time because here I am on stage with some of the, you know, the great names of the industry receiving this award while in the back of my mind, I'm feeling like a total fraud because I was totally broke and was really in the throes of dealing with a traumatic brain injury that was caused by an accident about 6 months earlier and had been completely unable to work.
Now, this was how long ago was this? 2 years ago?
Not quite two years ago.
And it is significant in terms of that. So bring us through the story about what happened. How'd you get the brain injury?
it was not very glamorous. I was working out. I was doing pull-ups, yes. And the bar gave way. And because my feet were forward and pike, as I fell, I landed back.
Right on the back.
Concrete in the back of my head.
You know, that is no different than an injury, though, that could happen to a child mm-hmm. playing hockey, yeah. right? I mean, how many times, I don't know how many times you've been on ice skates, but mm-hmm. I've been on ice mm-hmm. skates a lot. And I've taken a few hits, and even with a helmet, and smacked my head a few times. So, yeah. I mean, this could happen to anybody.
You know, when it happened, a few days in, I went to the hospital and the doctor said, oh, it's a concussion, you know, just rest for a few days, you'll be fine. You know, 3 weeks later, I went back, it had only been getting worse and worse. And I went back and, you know, same thing they said, you know, but I was off full time, for about 6 months. And it took about another year of on again, off again, part-time struggling with a lot of cognitive, issues and so forth. And it had a real profound impact.
Yeah. So the impact wasn't just physical, but it was psychological and spiritual also.
Yeah. I remember one time I was having a conversation with someone. This was right after I won the Thought Leader of the Year award. And they said, "Joseph, I'm so happy to meet you. I've heard so many great things about you. How are you doing?" And in a rare moment of vulnerability, I said, "Well, things are going pretty crappy, to be honest.
Yeah.
I used a different version of that word. And, I just opened up and I said, I won this award and everything should be going right. But deep inside, I feel like a total fraud and a failure because I can't support my family right now. And I'm just stressed and overwhelmed and all of these things." And then there was pause. And I thought, oh my goodness, I scared her off by sharing too much.
You spoke honestly, yeah.
And she said, "Joseph, thank you for sharing. I'm so glad that you did because just recently I was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize."
Oh, sweet, yeah.
"And everyone that I've shared has put me on such a pedestal that I haven't been able to share how I'm really feeling." And essentially she opened up and shared that she had been feeling some of those same feelings of, I'm a fraud. I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy.
It's amazing how many times you can go through your life and everybody, you have that experience, mm-hmm. right? That you've, and I do want to get back to your story, but I want to make sure that I spend a little time with this with our listeners, because I think at every point in somebody's life, they feel like they don't deserve, or they're a fraud, or the internal and external are not in equilibrium, right? Mm-hmm. So what's happening out in the external world and what you're getting is not equal to what's actually happening inside you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and ultimately I think that's the power of the true change makers, is that they are able to stand in integrity. And they come through those moments of adversity because we all face them, those moments where we don't feel we're good enough, that, we don't think we measure up and so forth. And it's a matter of how do we deal with them? Do we brush them away? Do we, distract ourselves, by doing other things, by chasing other achievements or distractions, whatever the case is. But when we have those experiences, to really own them is what really has inspired me about those transformation leaders like Gandhi and Dr. King, is they had adversity, as all of us do, but to such a profound degree, and they did not shy away from it. And they didn't overcome it. I have really learned that overcoming adversity is not what happens. What they did is they transformed it. They were able to take that adversity and to transform it, to see it through a new lens. Instead of seeing it as the obstacle in the way to them getting to their goal, they saw that it actually was the way to get to their goal. That you can't just, push through it, but actually use it to your advantage.
Yeah, it's almost like leveraging. It's in a way, it's called leverage. And, mm-hmm. and if you study a little bit of martial arts, in an adverse situation, you leverage the other person's skill against themselves, mm-hmm. right? And I'm probably not doing that justice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've experienced adversity. In what way has that transformed what you're doing now?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One, it's really helped me to be more comfortable with who I am and to own all of me, and to say good, bad, and ugly, this is who I am and I'm perfect the way I am, which sounds airy-fairy, but it's a beautiful thing to come to that space of self-acceptance. But it also, from a very practical level, caused me to pursue ease and to realize that life is precious. And there are some things that I can do really, really well, and some things I do that impact the lives of others in profound ways. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. And this pursuit of ease, led me through this course of inquiry of saying, what doesn't fall under this, banner of I can do it really well and it's impacting others positively, and tried to cull it out.
Tried to cull out. We're going to take a short break because I think that's a great spot to sort of pick up from. How do you actually look at ease in your life? This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan, and I was going to say for Set for Success, but you probably already heard that anyway, but that's okay. I said it now. I'm hanging out with Joseph Ransett, and Joseph, I've known Joseph in business for years, and He actually sometimes nicely refers to me as Papa. You haven't done that on this show yet. It's a bit of an in-joke. It's a bit of an in-joke if you're listening to us. Basically, we were talking a little bit about ease. That's the word I've sort of, you know, grabbed from you. And during the break, you and I were joking a bit about what I often say to my wife. I often say to her, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm ready to have a walking, biking lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get rid of all the stuff and let's make our lives a lot easier. And I think that's sort of maybe a bit more of a physical term, but I think you're talking a bit beyond just getting rid of the physical and stuff.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite mentors, Dr. Maria Namath, who wrote a number of books, but Mastering Life's Energies. In it, she defines success as doing what you said you would do with clarity, focus, ease, and grace.
Oh, wow.
And this woman is the embodiment of clarity, focus, ease, and grace. And as I started working with her, ease was the word that really resonated with me because I felt really clear about my purpose. I had focus on what I was doing, but the ease, not so much.
Working too hard?
And I realized precisely that as I was working too hard, doing too many things, and I was too busy to really sit and be with myself and to really enjoy the fruits of my labor. But also I realized that it was that lack of ease that was actually getting in the way of me not having more fruits of my labor.
It's interesting you would say that because before the show started, I obviously Googled you, right? Mm-hmm. And looked at your websites and everything. And I do this to everybody, right? And I thought to myself, boy, this is one busy guy. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting you would just use the word busy because I was thinking that about you mm-hmm. and that. But it sounds to me like you've sort of come to terms with that busyness and the pursuit of ease in your life.
Yeah, you know, I think busy is a disease of the modern era. And
it's not fun. I mean, everybody says they're too busy and they're all stressed out about it. And I have to agree with you.
And I say in my organization, you know, to my team quite often is that busy is a mindset, not a circumstance. And
explain.
You know, we can have a lot of things going on, but if we are grounded, present, calm, and in a space of ease, all is well. It's when we have so many things going on that our mind is running just as fast as our schedule is that we really get into busy. And so, you know, for me, I've tried my best to not use the word busy because it's a beautiful thing to have a packed calendar. If it's things that you're enjoying bring peace. So I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is feeling the victim of my calendar, you know, feeling at the mercy of circumstance because there's so many different things going
yeah.
on.
And I'm too busy, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I that's the way I sort of would express that. And I guess it's just I'm too busy. I think the other way, and as you were talking, I was thinking about this, is that you're sitting there, and this is my guilt, okay? I'm sitting there with my family. I'm physically there, but I'm not present, mm-hmm. right? And that's when I know I'm too busy. You know, they'll be talking about something and then I'll ask a question, which was a good question, but that conversation happened 10 minutes ago.
Right.
And I just checked in, right? You know, that's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's how I get busy.
And that really is not the way that life was meant to be. You know, we're so busy, you know, living in the past, as we talked about with our F&M stories, father and mother stories, or in the future, either worrying about what's going to happen, how things are going to work out, or we're living in the dream of a better future and we're missing right now. Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher said that all men's miseries derive from not being able to sit in a quiet room alone. And I think that being able to be present with ourselves, accepting ourselves and accepting our circumstance, not only is a way to create ease, but it's also a way to be empowering and to be that liberating gift to other people.
I often tell clients or listeners, and I got several exercises I get people do similar to yourself, but I'm very comfortable in telling people that I write every day, right? And I keep a journal. I'm one of those people that I actually keep a journal. But the reason why I share this with you right now is that I think that's part of my way of creating ease in my life. It allows me to pen my thoughts or my heart out onto ink and paper, but at the same point in time, it keeps me a little bit more grounded and allows me to see things for what they are. When you talk about having ease, are you talking about having things like that that you do that allow you to be in the moment, to be present?
Yeah, I certainly think there's a number of personal, you know, habits or disciplines we can take up to help us. And the means, I believe, you know, it's going to be different for everyone. You know, for you, it's writing and journaling. You know, for me, I love to read. I love to meditate. And, you know, I've got a book of quotes, you know, from my mentors, you know, and inspiring leaders that I reflect on, you know, often. But ultimately, I think what brings us present so that it's not just our ears, not just our mind, but all of our senses are activated in at the same time is really, to me, the weather vane of whether we're actually being present. Can we hear? Can we smell? Can we see? Can we feel what's going on in our body while we're experiencing whatever is in the current moment? That's the gauge for me as to wow. whether we're present.
That's absolutely amazing. That's a great sort of explanation or definition. I get to see you in terms of how you do it, physically do it. I always thought it interesting that you use quotes from your famous, from people that you respect and appreciate. And, mm-hmm. that, and my first thought was, oh, wow, I do the same thing, but it's from lyrics of songs. Mm-hmm. I do identically the same thing and I grab onto certain lyrics. But then I actually sometimes go out and I research the lyrics and I discover this from some of the great writers in the world and some of the great people in the world that we all admire, right? So mm-hmm. it's sort of an interesting, sorry, I went on a side thing with you.
I found that memorizing quotes early on, you know, in my career was an empowering way to marinate my mind in empowering beliefs.
Okay. Marinating your mind, empowering beliefs. Mm-hmm. Explain a little bit further.
Well, you know, like we were talking about before, we have so many stories about what things mean, and our mind, you know, runs on different, you know, these different programs about what's going on in the world. And being aware of what we're being aware of is a very powerful exercise, right? Of noticing what we notice and, you know, seeing where does our mind focus. And by memorizing empowering quotes, I found that I was able to keep my mind on beliefs and stories that served me instead of, oh, here's what's going on in the news today. And here's, you know, all these negative circumstances. It was, you know, selective on what I allowed in my brain and what I was focusing on that really helped shape me, I believe.
This is an incredible topic. I don't always have somebody come in and sit down and talk about something that is so close to their heart and so close to who they are. If I know you're a professional speaker, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, Joseph, how would they go about doing that?
JosephRanseth.com. Is my website. I'm on social media, and active, but you know, my website is probably the best place to come. And, you know, there I share a blueprint for how, you know, everyday people can, take those, that same blueprint and framework that, you know, folks like Gandhi and Dr. King used to have an impact on the world that they can apply in their own lives.
Great show. Love talking with you. Always have. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Life is happening in the right now, not in the yesterday, not in what will come, but in the right now. And if we can be present, activate all of our senses, and really just ask the question, what if right now were my last opportunity to leave a legacy? What would I do and how would I be known in service to others?
Great question. This is Richard Lamb, set for success. Joseph, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure to be here.
Also, listeners, thank you for tuning in. And if you have a question, a thought, or an idea about the show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.